This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac in the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. They have a large selection that ensures that you can have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. And it's Stan McNabb, and it's Stan McNabb's only, can you get oil changes and tires for the life of the vehicle. And nowhere else can you do that. I have two interesting individuals that are on today. Jeff Jordan, who is, we'll have to bear a little bit with him. He's not used to being in front of the mic. And we have Steve Sandlin, who we have some interesting subjects today. And I think the number one subject on the mind of quite a few people, of course, is redistricting. And you guys are tackling that problem that you're going to try to take care of. And which one of you would like to go first?
Well, I'll go first just by telling you that Commissioner Sandlin from the 9th District is chairman of our committee and knows all. So take it away, Steve.
You know, things really haven't changed too much, have they, Jeff?
Not much.
That's my guy. He doesn't mind sticking his neck out for anybody.
Steve is chairman, and Nicole Lester right across the street here at the Election Commission is our vice chairman. And Steve, tell them what we've done and kind of where we are.
Well.
And you're listening to Steve Sandlin right now.
Yes. Truman?
Yes.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Stevie.
It's, you know, that one guy that still calls me my old school name, Stevie.
Yes.
I was Stevie. Any of my old friends call me Stevie. So anytime I go home to Lincoln County, that's Stevie. Of course, it's home Murfreesboro now since I've been here.
Better be.
Woo! 26
You've got a lot invested here now.
That's true. That is true. That's
tell us about your daughter, Steve. I know you want to tell us.
I'll do that in a minute.
Okay.
Do that in a minute.
All right.
What was the question?
All right. You're tackling redistricting in your committee, and
yes,
you're the chairman of the committee, and I presume that you guys are going to give all the county commission, all 21 of them, your final thoughts after you have studied this.
Absolutely. Truman, you've been in the middle of that redistricting stuff many, many years, and every 10 years it comes around, it's not a pleasant time for anybody, and I don't know why myself and Jeff and all these other folks, and I'll mention them right quick while I'm mentioning that. Joe Frank Jernigan is on the committee, Tiffany Phillips, Steve Sandlin, myself, Alan McAdoo, Jeff Jordan, Rhonda Allen, Doug Schaefer, Nicole Lester, John Taylor, Jimmy Evans, and Veronica Buchanan is on the committee. We have a committee made up of 11. And after the census of every 10 years, we the county is responsible for redrawing the district lines. And so they're challenged with that. 10 years ago, I think the election commission, the county commission, I don't think, didn't want to be that much involved and said, hey, election commission, I need y'all to do it. Y'all do it. And they did a great job. But, you know, every time, which we at that point had 21 districts, and, you know, nobody's going to be completely happy, you know, 100%, because you get in a groove and change itself is just, it's change. It's different to deal with. You've got those communities that you fought hard for, whether it be for schools or roads or taxes or whatever, and you get close to those folks, and they're your constituents. They call you on a regular basis and ask you those questions or problems and stuff and want you to handle them, and then you don't want to let them go, you know. And
are we looking at basically the population, the voting population, or the population that's in the area of each one of the districts?
You look at the total population, because that total population can be registered to vote.
Now, do you guys know how many of them are voting in each one of those districts, or anything that has to do with it?
No, I think the Election Commission's got a number on that, on you know, how many registered voters right here. But we have 262-plus residents in Rutherford County incorporated into with all the cities that are there and with inside Rutherford County. And so it brings it down to 12,000-plus in each zoned district.
That's pretty good size.
For 21 districts.
Yeah.
So we've basically doubled compared to 10 years ago in number. And
now we're talking about adult population, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that is doubled. And of course, the school population, you can tell by the way we've been building our schools and still building. I mean, they're breaking ground right now on Stewart's Creek High. So population keeps going. The gates are open. Rutherford County, we're very, very fortunate here in Rutherford County to still have the growth compared to other counties. Like I was saying, my hometown, my mom still lives there, and a lot of my kin folks and stuff in Lincoln County. And I mean, you know, it took them, we was at Henry Horton here on the County Commissioner Association meeting here just a few weeks ago, and Jeff was talking to one of the guys that introduced me over there to him, and they took one night in redistricting, which it didn't take very long because they basically didn't have any growth. There wasn't a change from 10 years. And
it's hard for us to imagine that.
It is. It is. And when you start looking, it's not just, you know, the way, really and truly the way I thought about it way back there is how they do this. You know, they put it on the wall and they get a dartboard and they throw it. And that's where you change. And it looked kind of like that after you got through doing it. But by the time you put the county commissioner in their respective district, you put the seven school board members in their respective district, and then you put the seven road board commissioners in their respective district, and then the road board and school board, they actually are in charge of three districts surrounding where they live. And so those are the people they have to answer to. And so the time you get that in the plan anyway, I think one of the things that that Mike had said first thing is, Commissioner Sandlin, I think it'd be a lot easier if you'd move up here, you know, in this area, and make it easier for us to draw the lines, you know, and vice versa on other commissioners and road board members and school board members. But if it was easy, I think everybody'd be wanting to do it. So
you almost need a math teacher from the university to be on your board to help you with it. I mean, I can see the little compass that you're going to be using and say, how many people's within this little circle here? And it's not going to be as simple as most people think it is.
No, no, and it really hasn't been. I tell you, GIS, Jeff, jump in anytime.
Okay.
But GIS really has, you know, has done a great job with the numbers that they you know, accurate numbers that they have gotten, and the maps that they've, you know, accurately have got. They just pull it up, and they can tweak by the census blocks. And you think, well, you know, I could do a little corner right here, and this would really kind of shape this up and make it look a lot better. But you can't, because maybe that block has got 300 people in it or 800. Well, that's going to throw you over, plus or minus, which we'll get into that too, as far as your leniencies. You know, you got 5% that you can go to the negative side, or 5% to the positive side of your number, which was the, like I said, the 12,000 number.
These people that Mr. Chairman here named a minute ago were not selected at random, and the steering committee ended up with these names, and the commission had to, of course, approve the whole all 11. But Commissioner Sandlin has served for over 20 years, has been chairman before, and Joe Frank Jernigan is a legend in this county, as far as Commissioner Tiffany Phillips represents the Eagleville area.
That's a new commissioner.
And then myself and Alan McAdoo, who's our longest serving commissioner and represents the city of Murfreesboro, and then Rhonda Allen, who's been on the planning commission and has got a lot of new and fresh ideas is from the Smyrna area.
New commissioner this time.
Doug Schaefer's been with us a while. He's representing the Laverne area. And then Republican election commissioner, Jimmy Evans, who's well-known, Democratic election commissioner, Johnny Taylor, citizen at large is Veronica Buchanan, who's been on the planning commission, and of course Nicole Lester, who probably knows more about the district lines and where they are, and after all responsible for the voting for the entire county, and she hadn't had an election yet, but she will have plenty of them, matter of fact, coming up real quick. And probably I'll say something else too, and this is something that people maybe do not understand. This committee does not set precincts.
And
one way I wish we did, and another way I'm glad we don't. But
places that you go vote, that is not brought into the equation
not,
what you're doing.
No.
See, that's an interesting process because I remember when I lived in Salem. The voting place there was at the old store right there on 99 in Rucker Lane.
My family voted there.
I was about maybe 400 yards from there. I had to go all the way across town to vote. And I marveled at that. But there's no way I could get an
And we have some problems like that in the county now, but with 262,000 citizens and a record number of people voting, and we do have a record number right now, don't we, ever registered, it's impossible to do that. So what eventually will happen is that sometime before January 1, we will give Ms. Lester the district lines as the county commission, and then the state will approve them, hopefully. And then she and her commission will select the voting precincts, which is a difficult thing to do. They've got to find 45 places or something like that in it, Steve, for people to vote. And there's only, you know, you got schools and you got churches and you got stores and, you know, you just do the best you can. And you've campaigned in all of them, all three of us have. I've voted leaning up against fire engines and potato chip racks in Milton and the bottom basements of banks and everywhere else in Murfreesboro one time or another in my life. And I imagine you all have too.
Yeah, and sometimes that's confusing because if you've been voting somewhere for years, like a lot of us have, and then all of a sudden you've got a new place to vote that may be 15, 20 miles from where you've been voting, I don't know if that would affect somebody that really wanted to vote, but it can be confusing because I think I've seen almost every time we've had an election, there are people that were going to the wrong precinct to vote.
And that's a real big problem, Truman, that you brought up right there, and it's one of the main issues that we don't have any jurisdiction or say on. Now, I'm planning on being at the election commission whenever they're starting to do this process in lines and try to suggest, even in my district, I don't want to suggest anybody else's, but like 10 years ago, I lost the Blackman Community Center. And it was devastating to a lot of folks who had been voting there for years and years and years. And now you've got to go, you know, really clear across the district to vote. And that would make it unsettling to some folks and not in their path, you know, of driving every day to go and vote. And you're, you know, we're trying to we really need to make it accessible to our residents and to folks to actually vote, and that's to get out and vote. And that's, you know, I've got a voting precinct that's outside of my district. I do not like that at all. I think you need to have the voting places inside those districts, you know. But
you guys will work out a formula for where each voting precinct is going to be, right?
No, election commission.
That's election commission.
I thought you guys would give them what your thoughts were. So they, it strictly falls under their jurisdiction.
We can give them our thoughts, as he said, when they get ready to actually do it. But by our thoughts, we're talking about our personal thoughts, our commissioner thoughts, not committee thoughts. Our committee will not deal with this at all. We'll never vote on a precinct. And what Commissioner Sandlin said, also what's happened to me, and it's worked okay. I didn't particularly like it. There are two precincts in mind. Are the two in yours or three? What did you say? How many places are voting in yours?
Two.
The two in mine, Bellwood School, which has worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to really sound kind of strange, but it makes sense. The people in the Bellwood subdivision years ago, they used to vote at the courthouse, where I don't think there's any voting at the courthouse.
I remember that.
And the people where I lived at that time, which was Clydeway, just off Great River Pike, they voted at Bellwood School, which was out of the district. Now, here's why. There was no place in the 21st district at that time that people could vote.
Wow.
A church did not want them, and you never ask. You certainly don't go anywhere you're not wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And some churches won't do that. So they just moved it to Bellwood, moved Bellwood to the courthouse. Well, anyway, I guess it was 2 years ago, they moved from Cason Lane, which was right in the center of my district, out of the district, which I didn't like. But they moved it to World Outreach Church, which mm-hmm. was fine, a nice place to vote.
Yeah.
But as soon as it got to World Outreach, they voted there a time or two, and then they moved it to another building on World Outreach property down at the corner. So now we've moved it to another time. And I think it may move again because they're fixing to tear that building down, I think, or rezone the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want any of the senior citizens out on 99 if they could help it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it anyway, and it's worked okay. It has been fine. And there's a problem. Maybe if school's going on, that can be a problem, too, and you're trying to vote at the same time in the school. That can be a problem. But we're not going to – I'll go to the meeting like Commissioner Sandlin will. But I'm not going to – our committee will not decide anything on precincts.
Will you have recommendations for the election commission?
I will. You talking about my committee?
No. And individually those on the committee. Because you guys will have done a lot of work just to get to that point.
No, we'll just give her the lines. And Steve, correct me here.
That's basically our responsibility as the redistricting committee is to basically set – the district lines. That is really it. All we're supposed to do is set the district lines.
Is there anything that would prohibit a business or a school or anything like that? Not a school, but anything that would prohibit a voting precinct from coming into reality? Because are there any restrictions at all when you pick a place?
That'd be a good question for the election commission.
I don't know the answer to that.
You know, years ago, and that's one thing I think that my mom and dad instilled in me as a kid,
mm-hmm.
is, and you know, we milk cows and farm, but, you know, dad milked a little earlier, and we got our stuff done a little earlier so we could get to the polling place mm-hmm. and vote before they closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember standing out in line, you know, and really, I remember that community center mm-hmm. that we went and voted at all the time. No heat or air, you know, so depending on the time of the year that you're voting, it was, you know, cold or it was warm, you know, mm-hmm. and it was usually warm in the summer and cool in the winter, you know, but, you know, we had a fire hall, Amelville Fire Department on 1 Mile Lane there for a number of years, and, you know, they'd roll up the bay doors and you just come in and, mm-hmm. And go, and if it was raining, they might pull them down a little bit, you know, and somewhat keep you, you know, warm or somewhat keep you cool, but, now we've got, for years I didn't have a school in my district, mm-hmm. so now I do. So Stewart's Creek School is the one of my precincts there. And so, mm-hmm. You go in, it's nice and cool in the summer, and it's nice and warm mm-hmm. in the winter to go and vote and to stand in line.
Yeah.
You know, those lines are starting to get, which is good. I like seeing the lines on people, not so much as it's taking you time to vote, but there's people coming out to vote.
It's not as nerve-wracking, maybe, for the candidates and the public that want the results and all this kind of stuff. It's different than it used to be, for sure.
Yeah.
We've had elections in Rutherford County. I remember one in particular with Mr. Kelton and Mr. Threet. You may mm-hmm. Judge Threet, you may remember that.
It went
on until the next morning.
Yeah.
And they locked the ballot boxes. Of course, they were paper. And they mm-hmm. locked them in the jail with the deputies inside mm-hmm. the cell with them. So it's all that has changed,
mm-hmm.
and certainly, and the early voting has certainly changed everything. Because I'm
not too sure if we hadn't got a little bit complicated
maybe.
Because I don't know how many people I talked to in this last election that were so confused with the machines And it was hard, unless you have people that are working the precincts that are very familiar with the machines, then they can't properly advise individuals how they're supposed to vote or what they can vote for or what they can't. And I know we're talking about the little precincts where they're going to be. I know that some of the election places may not vote over 10 or 15 people, and then you'll have others that'll vote 600 or 700 or even over 1,000.
Right, and
you know, I think it's important to get these where the people can actually have access to them.
Right. Well, we had a church this last election. Everybody that was registered to vote there and voted, they all voted early. Mm-hmm. And nobody came on election day. You remember that? That was a small population, nobody came. Yeah. They all voted early, and we do have. If you want to call that a problem, it may be. But we have many, many people. I talk to many people in my district that really don't know where they vote because they've been voting early so many years.
Yeah.
They forgot.
You have
they
a
have
lot
to look
that.
In their wallet to see where they're registered. And which is, that's okay. They're voting early. I don't mind. They're voting. So that's good enough.
Well, you know, the thought is that when you get older, It's harder on you to stand there in a line and things like that. So we're starting to see a lot of older people that will actually vote early voting, mm-hmm. which in some respects it's good, but yet you go on election day a lot of times, and it's not as busy then as it is early voting.
Right.
You see them lined out the courthouse over here or at the election commission and all the way around the square sometimes on early voting.
So, I'm asked every year, you know, do you early vote? And mm-hmm. I said, no. I'm afraid they're going to lose my vote. I'm going to go to election day, you know, the election day. I don't know, something about getting out election day. That, you know, that's mm-hmm. that's I'm making a little joke there. But they're not going to lose your vote, but it's
– it's always important.
Yeah. I just like getting out there election day and seeing the people election day and mm-hmm. And the people holding the signs, whether you're this or that mm-hmm. or whatever you're running for or whatever, and just, you know, seeing those and seeing who's coming out to vote and talk to them. And it's – I just like going election day.
Well, the truth of the matter is, when you guys draw the lines, I mean, that's the real important thing anyway, because that's the thing that really establishes the area, not really the voting precincts themselves.
Well, we have, and I hope Steve's going to remember the order or at least come close, because I do not, because we really did and followed everything kind of like the committee voted.
Mm-hmm.
But this is... Well, it's hard to explain this. This is easy and this is complicated. It just depends on how you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some things that we wanted to be sure that we did, and things that there's an instruction booklet that goes with this. And Steve got it here, mm-hmm. and every commissioner's got one, and we kind of had to follow that. But this is not something that you can just, you know, get a pencil and get an outline of the county and decide, well, I like my district to be over here. There was none of that. Mm-hmm. None of it. And I don't have to prove it. It was all on TV. It was all right there for you to see it.
Right.
But we had some things that and Steve's going to tell you the kind of the order we put them in. But to the best of my knowledge, we followed all of them right to the letter. We didn't have any. Mm-hmm. But Steve, what were they?
I mean, just some. Well, this was the where we started. We started in District 1.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, somebody said, well, you start to District 2 next. We started from the GIS's department of the top 7 districts that were, I don't know how you say it, complicated maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through those, you know, the first 7 and tried to get our numbers, tried to get those.
You didn't go to school here, did you?
We tried to get those numbers locked in, and we knew everybody was going to be, and my famous word has been tweaked,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we've had to tweak either to the north or to the west or the east or the south or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, trying to keep your integrity of the district itself.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said before, but the time you put the county commissioner, and I'll go back to this right quick, Mr. Johnny Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Sharp individuals, been through
Eagle,
many of
yeah.
these
mm-hmm.
Redistricting processes, and said one made a very good statement first meeting. Says, you know, we need to ask if any of these elected officials, whether it be school board, road board, or county commission,
mm-hmm.
wants to run again. And if they don't want to run again, and they will tell us that, then it will help us in redistricting that district, and it may help. If only one person says, I'm not running,
mm-hmm.
then it will help the whole picture. And I see that now after we've gone through as much as we've gone through.
Would it adversely affect the county commissioner that much as far as changing the scope of his district, his or her district, when you're asking if they want to run or not, if they're going to, because it's going to affect them one way or the other? Would it really affect them that much?
Well, yeah, I think it would. I mean, and they say it would too. But
really?
You take... We asked that question.
Uh-huh.
We asked that question. If anybody was not going to run, then let us know.
But you get into the fact that each county commissioner is not just representing that district. They're representing the whole county.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
So I don't see how that would affect the...
Well, I think we wanted to know that so that if Commissioner A was not going to run,
mm-hmm.
and Commissioner B, who lived a mile down the road, was going to run...
Mm-hmm.
We could then move the line. It didn't matter whether we left them in the district or not. A,
mm-hmm.
Commissioner A, that was not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter,
mm-hmm.
because he wasn't going to be there anyway. So there was no district to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody said anything, did they?
We had quite a few comments.
Nobody said they were not going to run.
But we didn't have anyone to say that they weren't going to run. And,
mm-hmm.
and just a little stance on that they... you know, had some really good comments on there.
Mm-hmm.
One elected official said, you know, if I don't run, if I'm not going to run, I'm not going to say that until it's time not to run or run. You know, that's when I state that I'm going to run.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. But he said also that, you know, take for instance that I'm not going to run, maybe I'm going to stay out 4 years,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I'm going to run for another position or something. I still want to represent this district. I still want to be in this district, live in that district that I did represent. And I understand that too. So it's two very good points.
We're going to take a quick break and let you know that this part of our show is brought to you by At Home Care. And their business is located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. Or you can reach them at 713-4639. Or on the internet, pull it up at www.athomecaretennessee.com. And that's Melissa Warren's business. And they go in and they take care of people who have gotten older or maybe having medical problems who cannot take care of the normal tasks in their home. And this gives them a quality of life that they normally wouldn't have. And it helps the whole family. So if you're in need of that service, and many of us are, give them a call at 713-4639.
Are you struggling with ideas to promote your business? Well, don't stress. The folks at Franklin's Printing know how important it is to reach new customers to grow your business. They can help with that new brochure you need to design. You know more about your business than anyone else, but we know how to make your business look good in print. Everyone at Franklin's Printing will give your project the care and appearance you deserve. Call now for an appointment. We'll make you look great at Franklin's Printing. Call 890-5249 right now.
Self-storage has never been so convenient. Thanks to Zippy Shell, providing self-storage and moving solutions right to your front door. We deliver, you pack it, we pick it up and store it. Our units are secure, convenient, and best of all, they're just as affordable as traditional ones. Zippy Shell. Call us today for a free estimate.
Call locally owned Zippy Shell today. 216-7879. That's 216-7879.
Are you thinking about retirement living for yourself or a loved one? Think Adams Place in Murfreesboro. Retirement and assisted living, rehabilitation, and long-term care are available on their picturesque campus. Think it's too expensive? Think again. Adams Place Assisted Living starts as low as $100 a day. If you need a vacation, take advantage of Assisted Living's respite care for your loved one. Adams Place Retirement Community in Murfreesboro. Senior living at its finest.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Next, we're going to look ahead at a few events. On Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, the local women's leadership organization, Cable, hears from the acclaimed business leader, Tom Black, the author of The Boxcar Millionaire. They're meeting for breakfast at the Stones River Country Club, Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. The tickets are $15 for cable members and $20 for guests. For reservations, contact Brenda Bruce at 504-0000. That's Tuesday morning at 7. And the Rutherford County YMCA invites you to the Heroes in Heels Fashion Show at the Belk Department Store Tuesday evening at 6:30. The fundraiser is for After Breast Cancer, an outreach program of the YMCA. And you heard us talking Friday about that program on WGNS, the After Breast Cancer Outreach of the YMCA. That's Tuesday night at 6:30 at Belk Department Store. Oh, here's something Wednesday through Friday, the Precious Angels Children's Consignment Sale. That's over on Park Avenue. And the quilt show starts this coming Thursday at the Sam Davis Home in Smyrna and continues through this coming Saturday. It's the third annual quilt show. Fantastic exhibit. Good opportunity to check out the Sam Davis Home while you're there. And that's at 1399 the Sam Davis Road in Smyrna. 150 years of beautiful quilts. The Sam Davis Quilt Show this coming Thursday through Saturday. Now, as always, WGNS is more than happy to list your good neighbor events on the radio and internet absolutely free. Get them to us 2 weeks before they occur. Good neighbor events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Sunshine continues this afternoon, high in the mid-80s. Tonight, mainly clear, low near 60. Sunny on Tuesday, high near 89. Tuesday night, low 60. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 82.
Did you realize we have 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99? Hi, this is Mike from Maple Street Grill. Debbie and I wanted to invite you down to try some of the exciting new menu items. 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99. Maple Street Grill, 109 North Maple Street in the historic downtown Murfreesboro area.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
Today's guest, County Commissioners Steve Sandlin and Jeff Jordan.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you?
And you're listening to John Blankenship and Friends, and we're talking about Avon Lane and Ken and Sarah Frizzell and Billy Yearwood. And on Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., you can go out there and listen to country music, western music, and they really put on a great show. And the caveat is you got some of the best food, the best breakfast you can ever put in your mouth, and everything is made right there at the mill. And Tom Brady refurbished the old mill, and next year it'll be 200 years old. So if you'd like to go out, and I don't know why you wouldn't, last week we were out there and had a great time. A lot of people came in that were MTSU alumni, and some from Georgia that actually had played football here at MTSU, and they came to watch MTSU beat Georgia Tech, but unfortunately that did not happen. But we had a great time conversing in some of the old memories of MTSU and Rutherford County back in the late 50s and the early 60s. And if you want to go out there and just enjoy yourself, take about a 10-minute drive down John Bragg Highway, and then you'll see the Readable Mill sign about where Cripple Creek is. Turn left. It's about a two-mile drive from there. Go out and have an absolutely great time. Have you guys been there yet?
I have not. And I will jump right in and tell you, since we're talking about country ham, I have got to brag on my daughter.
Here we go.
She is.
Are we allowed to do that?
Well, Wesley was out here dancing to the music a minute ago.
So I guess we have to.
Yeah.
And my daughter's clogging too. So I mean, I think he's picking up some of the clogging. But anyway,
and that's where clogging started at Readable.
Really?
Yes, sir. The Cripple Creek Cloggers. Yes, sir.
Steve's children have gotten a lot of talent from their mother, let me assure you.
Truman knows that already.
Well, tell us about it, because I've seen your family ever since they were just...
You know Bob Woods. Everybody knows Bob Woods and B&W Hammery. He
lives close to me.
I'll plug him right there.
He lives at Buck Cannon.
Used to be a county commissioner with him. Great county commissioner.
Very good.
He does a fantastic job with the 4-H group. Mm-hmm. And Savannah's in 4-H, and she came home here a couple of years ago and said, Daddy, I want to cure a country ham. And I said, what do you know about that? You know, I mean, Savannah, did it. The Sandlin family, when we killed hogs around Thanksgiving, I mean, we'd kill 8-10 hogs.
Now, don't say we. Don't tell me you did.
No, yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did.
And absolutely. I cannot see that. For some reason, I can't picture that at all.
Big family event. I can go into details.
How are the hog jaws?
Perfect. I tell you what, I like hog jaw better than I do bacon.
It is great.
It's better than great.
And yet everybody has to have that on New Year's Day.
And let me tell you another delicacy that we had, and I know you've probably had it too, is pork brains and eggs. And we only had that the day of hog killing.
I never liked that at all.
But anyway, back to my story. Savannah has, this is her second year, I believe, or maybe third, that she's cured a country ham.
Wow.
And just absolutely loves it. I mean, New Year's Day, we unload about 1,200 hams down there at B&W Hammery, and they salt and sugar cure them and get them all lined up and everything, and then they do the whole process. Well, long story short, Savannah showed at Wilson County Fair this last time. She got second place. She actually beat Bob Woods out. He got third. And then his partner down there got fourth, so she was tickled pink. Well, this last week, he took all the 4-H hams to Tennessee State Fair. And he called me on Thursday afternoon late, and he said, Steve, I got good news. Savannah has won first place in the 4-H hams. And there was, I don't know how many, 25 or 30 or something hams. And then they take all the first place hams, and they put it in. All the first place hams compete with one another. Have a grand champion. Savannah won grand champion, Tennessee State Fair grand champion country ham.
That's amazing.
And that's over 100 hams that was in the competition. Grand champion ham.
How do we get a taste of one of her cured hams?
Well, you can go to B&W Hammery and go get you one.
A lot of people don't know where B&W is.
Just right off the square over here, right across from Florida Brothers. Napa. Napa? Florida Brothers. Right across the street from there. They can go over there, and they're open. I don't know their actual hours. I wasn't making a plug for them. But,
is that Bob Woods' place?
Bob Woods' place, yeah. And he cures the hams and everything downstairs. They've got a nice little shop upstairs now. You can buy sausage.
Now, that's not a seasonal thing. That's year-round.
No, year-round.
Right?
They got it going. Yeah, you can go over there today, I think, and get you some sausage or ham.
I always love country ham.
It's great. Bob's doing a great job over there. He does a great job with the 4-H'ers, I tell you, it's you know, bringing country back to you know, this is one of the things that we did and years ago, and people get away from that.
I never did take part, but I did watch them kill hogs and do all the hard work.
Well, I know
I was young back then. We always did it over. You remember Stanley McNabb over at Aunt Nancy and Stanley McNabb's on Woodbury Highway.
Yeah.
And that was a yearly treat. It was always on the coldest day of the year.
You got to have three cold days in a row, so the old timers say. And my aunts and uncles and my dad and stuff.
That's right.
And the reason why, that's to put the hams down. Once you salt cure the hams and everything and put them in there, you put big rocks in there to kind of keep the cold, you know, and you cover them with salt and everything. And then after a while, you hang them up and you smoke them.
How long do they hang?
Man, you're going to get into technical stuff. My daughter can tell you all that stuff.
I bet you she could, too, because I remember everybody had those little houses out there.
The longer it hangs, the better it is.
Them.
You know, the longer it hangs, the better it is. And I remember Dad going out to smokehouse and cutting off a slab of it, you know. I mean, you just – and then fried up. I mean, oh, it's great.
Now, speaking of hanging hams, let's go back to the county commission business again.
Well, I want to be sure that we got the kind of the rules that we sort of set up here. And we had four things that we were supposed to be considering, and when we were actually drawing out lines, I have to say, Steve, you and I really haven't discussed this, but it's one of those things that it just looks easy. You just take a pencil and you just draw whatever you want, you know, and it'll work. It doesn't work that way. You've got census blocks, and you can't just draw a line out in the middle of a field and say, well, we'll just split this field right into here, and we'll put this in District 1 and so and so and some other district. doesn't work that way. You've got to follow a river or a border or a road or a power line.
TVA power line.
Or a creek.
Yeah.
Or even a dry bed creek. Mm-hmm. You've got to have an honest to goodness border of that district, something that makes sense. Well, anyway, okay. We had four things, and I believe the first one is obvious, since Steve's already touched on this, and that is that we have to have a total population within that district of 12,500 people, mm-hmm. or something that is not off by more than 5%. So it's like 13,100 and 11,800 or something like that.
5% either way.
Yeah, 5% either way. Yeah. That's the first thing. Second thing, we absolutely did not want to do if we could help it, and I don't think we have, not in any meaningful way anyway, was to split a community down the middle. We didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the most obvious answer, example of that, and there are many examples we could have, but you go right down Highway Las Casas to Milton, and you can split Las Casas right in two. Well, we didn't want to do that, just to give you an example. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, there were two other things. I'm giving them to you, I believe, in order, I think, was we didn't want to do anything to hurt a minority group.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a problem in Rutherford County because we have such a diverse population and
right.
it's so spread out all over the place that mm-hmm. it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And the fourth thing, and I don't think that we even discussed this at all. I don't think it ever came up. Maybe it did a little, but where a sitting incumbent road board member, school board member, or commissioner actually lived. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to keep them in different districts. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we had a conscious. Is that fair? I don't even think we tried to do that, but
yeah.
it worked out. It worked
yeah.
out that way, okay. And Truman, I'll give you a personal opinion on this. If I think it would be unfair to put two or more, it could be more, because some of them live fairly close together. People that are in office, and make them run against each other if they all run mm-hmm. in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Although. You know, I can understand arguments the other way, but if I don't think that this committee saw their duty as doing that they could sit up there with pencils and we'll just put so and so together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them much anyway.
Right.
You know, we'll just put them over there with somebody else, make them run against each other, and we'll get rid of one of them.
Hopefully, something like that would never occur.
I hope that does not happen.
No.
But of course, the truth of the matter is that if the voters, I'll just use myself, if they don't like me. They've got it. They can take care of that right quick.
Oh, sure.
Right. And I assume that they will or won't. I don't know. Yeah. But I don't think that's the job of a committee 3 years earlier to take care of that.
Your districts have changed so much in the fact that years ago when you had the large districts, you could have a lot of friends in that district,
right.
a lot of relatives in that district, and be fairly safe. Because they were smaller. I mean, we don't have the what you call rural districts anymore. And one of the things that you were saying earlier when we were off the air is there's a possibility that you're going to have large stretches of land with very few people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to impact somebody's district quite a bit. Because
mm-hmm.
You know, even now with the populations that we have some districts that are area-wise are huge.
Well, and one of those, Tiffany Phillips District mm-hmm. in Eagleville,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about that at last meeting that really hers is so large, but
Joe Frank Jernigan would be another.
Mm-hmm. You're right,
and they're right next to each other also.
And Eagleville, if they do get this sewer system. Or
now, hopefully
you know,
they do.
If they do,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be the place to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's going to bring development. It's going to make the city bigger. It's going to
mm-hmm.
make, you know, those subdivisions. Now we've got cornfields and subdivisions just like we have in everywhere else.
Right.
Like Blackman all everywhere
mm-hmm.
else. But that's going to make her population explode. And so in 10 years... when we redo this thing again, whoever redoes this thing again, it's going to be a significant change there as well. And
so you guys are not only looking at the population as it is now, but are you looking, or is it possible to look at future growth in the district?
We can't do that. We've got to take the census numbers that we have, and apply those to the even districts that we have set forth. And
well, what if a sitting county commissioner right now sees the plan that you have for their particular district, and they have a major complaint with it? Would you give them a lot of consideration as to maybe making some changes?
We have from day one.
Okay.
And that's what we said, that this committee actually got larger than we had first originally wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. But in all due respect, 11 members on here have worked very well together in making this an open-door policy, to where we had Commissioner Joe Frank Jernigan, Commissioner Will Jordan, different commissioners to come up there and said, hey, I've looked at mine and what y'all did, and you did a pretty good job, but hey, can we do this? Can we tweak it here? Can mm-hmm. we tweak it there? And made some good where we're looking at a map here and looking at the roads and looking at the blocks themselves, you know, where that commissioner is actually seeing the people itself and where they've been voting and where the lines are, and this doesn't make sense here, and can we do this? And we've been able so far to tweak it, to either square it up or to compact it in a better form for the state to be able to approve this plan. That's one major thing too, that we can't just do this plan and say here it is and this is what it's done. We've got to present this by January 1 to the state, and they have to look at it and say, yes, you have the compactness here, you've got the numbers within the 5% correct, you've done this, you've done that, and yes, it's okay, or no, it's not. They could send it back and say, y'all got some more work to do.
We split a neighborhood 2 weeks ago, and we split it, I think it really was my fault, and at least I made the motion, and I got roads mixed up. It was in the Blackman area, and it was mm-hmm. Fortress and Blaze Drive. A road went all the way through there. I had no idea that it went all the way through there. And so I made the motion. It passed unanimously. We went right on. And then we realized 2 days later that we'd split a subdivision right in two. So we did what we were supposed to do. We went back and changed it. And that seemed to work well.
That's a good statement, Jeff. But, you know, I don't really agree with what we did there. I mean, I think Jeff was trying to do the right thing, and the committee was trying to do the right thing. We put it back, but you know that boundary line is a creek.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And really and truly, Truman, by law, by the state requirements here, and what this mm-hmm. book says, we can do that by TVA power lines. We can draw the lines by the rivers. Right. We can draw the lines by the creek beds. I really don't like that as a county commissioner and going out knocking on doors and where is my district, you know, and I like roads. You're on this side of the road or you're on this side of the road, you know. And if you to me, I think it's – and that's one thing about this plan that I don't like, but it's been done year after year, or not a year after year, every 10 years when we redo these lines, that here's the standards that you can work off of. Mm-hmm. And so some districts do have, here's your border, is this river. And I just really like, you know, you say, well, my district line, I go to the river. I'm not on the other side of the river. Mm-hmm. But I like those roads. You know, it's just, to me, my two-cent opinion, the roads is a good boundary line. I go to this side of the road, the other side of the road I'm not on. I go down here and I'm on this side of the road. I'm, you know, and state your boundaries that way. Mm-hmm. But then when you go, well, you go to the TVA line, or, you know, it's kind of like, to me, and it's really not this way, but it, like I said, again, it's my opinion. Well, you remember where the house was, so-and-so lived, mm-hmm. and then it burned, and they put a restaurant there, and well, it's not there anymore. Well, you turn there, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like that thing, and I just don't think it's as clear as a road type thing. But the state says we can do it that way, and this is the way we need to do it. And it's the way it's been done for years, but I don't totally agree with that.
Well, Steve and I agree on one thing. Roads are generally better, and the border of the county is generally better. And maybe Stones River is a little bit different from Puckett Creek, which is dried, you know, 10 months out of the year. But anyway, we went back and we changed it. But and we could change it again. By the way, I mean this Wednesday.
Of course, one thing you're saying is you're changing right there over close to Blackman School, mm-hmm. and a lot of people, you know, that may affect their voting precinct.
It could
drastically.
It could.
A number of them.
Something we have not touched on, and it's a little bit difficult to explain. But it was also part of our plan. And it was encouraged that we do this in our instruction book, which is kind of vague. But that it's appearances matter.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to look at that district and say, does this make sense?
Right.
Did they draw that line way out there just to bring old Truman Jones back in this district?
Right.
You know, because he's the cousin of the commissioner?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. That gerrymandering thing. And we've got to be able to defend each border.
Mm-hmm.
And our GSI department with survey, geographical survey folks, our map makers, have helped us immensely with that. Brian Robinson and Mike Curtis, Ms. Sievers, right?
And Barbara.
Sievers. And they've really been terrific to work with. Boy,
are you going to have a public hearing on this?
Well, we have met every Wednesday night. We'll meet this time.
But you won't have one. Just like, say, at the end of the budget. Before the budget, you don't.
No, Wednesday night, what we're planning on doing is bring it for Wednesday night. Whatever, if there's any commissioners that have anything for us to look at or we need to do.
A road board or school board.
A road board or school board. Yeah, we will deal with those questions. And of course,
it basically only affects the county commissioners, the school board, those that are locally have district races. That's all it's really going to affect.
Right. And so those folks, if they have any changes or questions or anything, then they'd bring those up to us Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then if the committee feels comfortable and we're ready, then we're going to present it to the full commission Thursday night. So
you guys have put in a lot of work on this. That's obvious.
If it's not ready, though, I mean, we'll bring it next month or the next month. We, like I said, our deadline is January the 1st. I didn't want to be at the deadline. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, our time frame, our timeline that I put together was October. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're ahead of the ball game there, but we definitely do not want to rush anything. But if we don't have anything else, I mean, we're going to present it to the commission and see what they say and what they want to do.
And then after the final decisions to make, the people, when will they get notified? Or will it be through the airways, through print, or whatever, how the changes are going? How's that
going to
work?
It wasn't going to affect until the next general election. So
it's 2014.
No, next year you have the
Road superintendent and the property assessor next year.
And then you have presidential primary and presidential race. So
it will be in effect next year?
The election commission, yes, would then send out all the notices and everything and let everybody know where they're at. But see, they've got to do the precinct thing too. So still some more work to do.
County commissioners who don't run, which that's all of us, we don't run until 2014.
Right.
We would still represent the same area, same people that we represent now.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2014, the new district would go into effect, right? And for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But for people that run before then, of course, and there's not many of them, but there are some, it would go into effect next year.
Well, those are countywide elections.
It's not really a complicated process anyway once you get to that. The real work is over once you guys get through and then present it to the county commission.
Well, the election commission, I know we're about to come up on 3 o'clock here, but the election commission has got a real job to do now. When they get the lines, they got to do the precincts, and then they got to notify all these voters who have changed.
Right.
And that's going to be a confusing time, but I'm satisfied they can handle it. They've done it before, so they can handle it.
And your responsibilities are over with.
Yeah, I can go home.
I want to let you know that part of the show has been brought to you by Pertle & Howerton Automotive, and they're at 2006 North Main Street in Shelbyville. And you can reach them at 1-800-264-6800, toll-free, or the internet, pertlehowerton.com. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, that's the place to go. Just take about a 20 or maybe even a 15-minute drive down 231 South. It's on the left before you get into Shelbyville, and I guarantee you, you will feel like a king when you go in there. They were so nice. Sit down and drink a cup of coffee with them and just maybe have a 10, 15-minute conversation. But it's well worth the trip.
Additional products and services will be offered for sale.
Working harder but not getting ahead? The rich get richer no matter which way the economy is headed, because today's times are filled with opportunity if you understand the new rules of money. You need to attend a free Rich Dad Education Workshop at the Embassy Suites in Murfreesboro and the Factory at Franklin. Based on the teachings from the best-selling book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, this totally free 90-minute event will show you how to survive and build security during these hard economic times. We teach why your house is not an asset, why you may not not want to diversify, why you may not want to invest in 401ks or mutual funds, why saving money will never make you rich. These are just some of Rich Dad's teachings that will change the way you think about money. Attend this free Rich Dad education training this Wednesday and Thursday. Sign up now at RichDadRadio.com. That's RichDadRadio.com. Or call 800-841-1993. That's 800-841-1993. Register now and get a free gift just for attending. Call 800-841-1993 today.
Hello, this is Doris Ann with Rutherford County Farm Bureau. We would like to show our appreciation to all of our Farm Bureau members by inviting you to our annual meeting tonight at the Lane Agri-Park Center, 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. We will be serving barbecue with all of the trimmings from 5 p.m. till 6:15 p.m. with the meeting starting at 6:30. For more information, call 893-1213 or visit our website at rcfarmbureau.org.
The Farm Bureau annual meeting is tonight.
It's time. Catch the energy. Blue Raider College football.
Don't miss the Blue Raiders blackout game against rival the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers Thursday night, October 6th at MTSU's Floyd Stadium. Official blackout t-shirt and ticket packages are available now at selected locations for only $15. Tickets are on sale now.
Visit GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Tackle boredom. Catch the energy. Go Blue Raiders.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
Welcome back with us. This has been a great show. One thing I forgot to say is that Kittrell is having a reunion out at the Kittrell School Saturday, and if you get there at 10:30, that's when they're going to start, and they're going to serve lunch around noon, and I think it goes to about 1:30. So if you want to go out and have lunch, and it's going to be one of those days where you can just relive the one of the greatest places in the world, and of course that's the Kittrell community. And you guys have been an absolute delight as usual. And I know there's got to be somebody that you want to say something to, but say it nicely if you don't mind.
I'll say this: you remind me on the reunion the Central High School Tigers.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Are the class of 1962, which is
a great bunch.
As we know, is probably the only real class that ever graduated from that.
Outside of 59, of course.
Except for 59. That's uh-huh. Exactly right. We were actively planning our 50th reunion. I can't believe I said that.
Oh, my.
And we're actively planning it right now. And Susan Taylor.
Uh-huh.
Former Susan Turner, who you know well.
Yes, I know well.
Is ramrodding us through, and we are getting things done. Things are happening. Food is being consumed. Meetings are being held. And if you want to participate in this, Tigers, 62 Tigers, and well, just call me, and I'll tell you when the meeting is and so forth and what's going on. Next summer.
Or just let Susan take care of it, period.
Well, Susan, if you wanted something done.
Yes. I have never
Susan
seen
would
any.
Be the one.
Oh, yes. If I was looking for a general to lead me in war, it would be Susan.
So, well,
I guarantee you.
Wait a minute. We're getting pretty out of, well, okay, whatever you say.
Yeah.
I know Stevie Sandlin from Lincoln County.
Yes, Stevie.
Wants to say hello to somebody, so I don't know who it is.
Oh, I don't know. I better, since I said something about my daughter, I better say
yes.
Something about my son.
Who happens to be up here in the
Wesley's
studio.
Wesley's here, and you know, he got, Mom, if Mom's listening, she's... he's gotten his homework while
yeah.
We're sitting here over the show, so that's
mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And he danced to the sausage.
We're getting ready to have, yeah, he sure did. And we're getting ready to have ball practice in a little bit, and so he's doing a great job in school, and I'm very proud
How's
of him.
How's he doing
as well.
In calculus this year?
Well, you know, trig was a little bit problem for him, but calculus, you know, he's
it's amazing how quick those Sandlins pick up
that,
stuff, isn't
that is
it?
True. That
yeah.
Is true, yeah. Truman, it has definitely been a pleasure.
It has.
I'd love to be back on the show when you're not, you know, beating me up real hard
I'm not
over
here.
Something, you know?
I'll have you back on, and those that are in the audience know that when I beat somebody up, they're friends of mine.
Absolutely.
Because if I don't, then there's got to be something wrong, and that's why I pick on Brian so much. But if you want to stay tuned, Brian will actually be on the air in just a few minutes. And if you don't have anything else to do, keep your radio on.
All those listeners are gone now.
I listen to your show when I'm sitting in line at Brown's Chapel waiting to pick him up as a car rider. And y'all entertain me every day. Y'all got a great show.
Oh, believe me, we're having fun. And Mr. Joe Nunley, Jr. will be on tomorrow with Dan Whittle. And I don't know what we're going to talk about, but whatever it is, it'll be fun.
Absolutely.
We'll see you tomorrow at 2.